This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
A couple of tweets I wanted to read.
I think we lost Dave, which is amazing. In his palatial estate, that he doesn't have Wi-Fi or internet.
Yeah, I don't understand how that's even possible, man.
It's Wednesday. Maybe he quit. Canty, maybe he just quit. He said enough is enough.
He's just got to tap out at this point. Wednesdays is not his day, so I guess that's just kind of him taking it to that next level. Pull the plug on actually driving the show. See what happens to these other two guys.
He's a bad guy. Bad team. We all understand that.
This is DCR.
I'm back.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for joining us, man. Are you all right? Everything good?
Well, you know, I don't like the Wednesday.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I wish I hadn't been able to reconnect. Then we wouldn't have had to go to the conversation we had to later on in the 6 o'clock hour. But it's a 7 o'clock hour on 98.7 ESPN at DCR 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us here on the Goodyear Hotline. This could be one of our favorites. It's the David Quinn Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group and the Macallan Double Cask 12-year-old single malt scotch. Coach, how are you? How you been? I know a lot going on with your Rangers, but how are you? What's going on?
Like you said, there's a lot going on. And, life throws you curveballs every now and then, and we certainly get thrown a little bit of curveball here, but we've got a job to do, and we're in Philly, and want to build off our win Saturday in Washington.
Obviously, we're going to start with the elephant in the room, and that is where we are with Artemi Panarin. So I don't want to lead you down any road. Just give us your take on what's going on, the organization's reaction, and then if there's any, and I know this could be a premature question, any kind of time frame of when he might rejoin the hockey team.
Yeah, not sure about that, when he's going to rejoin us, but I think you're seeing this whole thing play out the way everybody probably thought it would once this story broke. And, you know, obviously our organization stands behind Artemi. It really is a frustrating situation in so many ways. You talk to anyone that knows him here within our organization and anyone that knows him in Chicago and Columbus, this is a guy that is beloved by his teammates. He's mild-mannered. He's a guy that, as humble as any superstar you'll ever meet. And, like I said, you think you're seeing the aftermath of the original story, what has taken place, and the people that were there or around the situation, what their feelings are about it. So, our hearts are with him. He's a guy that we all care deeply about. And, sometimes people lose sight of the fact, because these guys are professional athletes, that they're immune to life's difficulties, and that certainly isn't the case. But we can't wait to get him back, not only from a hockey perspective, but more importantly, for a support standpoint.
Coach, and this is the last question I'll ask you about it, just because how blindsided was he by this story?
He was blindsided by it, for sure. I mean, it just really shook him because, of the way it happened and, just so many reasons why. It just... it shook him to his core because of the type of human being he is. And it's a difficult situation. And obviously it shook him to his core, but it's rattled all of us just because of how we all feel about him.
Coach, I want to ask you about what's going on the ice. You had a stretch of games where you lost four in a row and you've won your last two. What's been the biggest difference in how your team is playing?
Well, it's funny, Chris. We were playing pretty good hard. Those two Bruins games were really good games. We were playing good, even the Islander game lost 2-0. Just hard fought games that you lose, and you got to pull yourself together and stop the losing. And the thing that was bothersome is how poorly we played against the Devils, and then we ended up winning a game in Philly where I thought we were actually worse against the Flyers than we were against the Devils. But we ended up finding a way to get 2 points, which is really sometimes what you need to do. And then I thought we played a really good game against Washington. I thought we were thorough in all three zones. It was a true team win. For the most part, that's how we played all year. And I know our record isn't indicative of it. That's what's been frustrating. So, we think we've built a pretty good way to play where we're going to be able to win games. And we saw last year at this time our record was probably a little worse, or, might be right around the same. But we feel a lot different about the way we play right now. We think we can sustain success playing the way we're playing right now, because we think we're going to score more goals. Guys that might be snake-bitten, or guys that haven't been as productive as they have been in their past, are just on scoring for us right now. And usually when that happens, it's one or two guys. But, you know, we've got a handful of guys that aren't as productive as they normally have been, and we know they're going to come out of it.
David Quinn, head coach of the Rangers, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I saw that you're going to start Shesterkin in this game tonight. Has he kind of taken a stranglehold on this number one goalie spot right now?
Well, just right now he has. I think he's really played well over the last 2.5 weeks. His numbers obviously speak for themselves. He looks like he did last year. And, you know, I keep saying this because it's true. I mean, Georgiev had a real good night against Philly, the game that we won 2 games ago. So we feel that both these guys are going to be able to carry the load if need be. And right now, Shesty's in that groove right now.
Coach, one of the players, obviously, that is, he's getting tons of chances, has had, obviously, a hard time scoring goals. But do you feel like now that he finally put the puck in the net, and I'm talking about Mika, that could have been, the turning point for him moving forward here?
Yeah, you hope so. And, one of the things about Mika in the 2+ years we've been here with him is that this guy was a phenomenal practice player. I mean, he dominated practices. And when that happens, it's amazing what follows that from the rest of the team, And these last two days in practice, he's really looked like the guy that we all know he's capable of looking like. And, hopefully that goal, opens up the floodgates and everything else starts happening for him. And, the funny thing is he's done a hell of a job killing penalties. Our penalty kill's one of the top of the league, and he's a big reason for it and does all these other things well. So, I know the offense is going to come. I think he's as frustrated and surprised as anybody with his numbers. But I think by the end of all of this, from an offensive standpoint, I think moving forward here, he's going to be as productive as he's always been.
Coach, when do you guys expect Hedo to be back?
Well, he started skating yesterday, Chris, so we're hoping, I'm hoping a week to 10 days. That's kind of what the timeline is as of today. We've missed him. I mean, when he went out, he was our leading, from an offensive perspective, he was driving more offense than anybody. And, he was a guy that really, I thought, was really making that next jump. And it's funny, we talked about him yesterday. He comes in the rink yesterday, and, 2 years ago, he would have had his head down, wouldn't have said anything to anybody, and he walks in yesterday, and he owns the training room, and he owns the weight room. He's, yelling and screaming how happy he is to be back. And, that's a great part about coaching a young team, to watch these kids grow up and watch how they change on the ice, but how they change off the ice. And, he finally turned 21 in September, and he's been in the league for 3 years. Sometimes people will say that.
David Quinn, head coach of the Rangers, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Fans allowed back in the Garden, so you're not going to have to play in front of nobody on Friday at the Garden, and then, of course, on Sunday against the Bruins. So you must be excited about this, right? Have you guys talked about the fact that not a huge amount, but there's actually going to be a fan base starting on Friday at Madison Square Garden for you guys to play in front of?
Yeah, it sure will be nice. I mean, it's been odd, to say the least, since the bubble. But what's kind of crazy is you're just getting used to it. We're 18 games into this, and we went through the bubble playing, in front of nobody. And, now it's kind of been the norm. And we were actually driving into the rink last week and as a staff talking about, a year ago, if anyone would have told you that you'd be walking into Madison Square Garden, coaching a hockey in front of nobody, you just could not have believed it. And that's kind of what the norm's been. But it'll certainly be nice to have people in the building. I don't care if it's 10 people or 1,500. It's going to be nice to have people there supporting you.
New York Rangers head coach David Quinn joins us here on the show. Coach, last one from me. Who are you expecting to step into Artemi's spot now moving forward?
Yeah, well, I know you hear this a lot in sports. I mean, no, not one guy's going to do it, but, we've kind of shook the lines up a little bit for tonight just because, I really liked the Kreider, Buchnevich, Strome line the other night, and I liked, obviously, Mika, Brett, and Lafreniere. So, unfortunately, that's only been a one-game showcase so far, but, we're going to mix the lines up just a little bit and to see what's going to work, just because, without Brad, without Hedl, without Kako, you're talking about 3 of your top 9 forwards. So, there's going to be a little bit of mix and matching going on, trial by error. So, it's going to be everybody. Everyone's going to have to step up in order to replace that type of production, that's for sure. But, you know, we're at our best when all four lines are going. I thought that happened against Washington, and you know, we're gonna, you know, that's gonna be the plan tonight. We need all four lines going, and you know, guys getting ample ice time, so the top guys don't have to play a ton of minutes.
All right, Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck tonight. Go take care of business, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. We appreciate it. That, of course, is David Quinn, the David Quinn Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains can make your dreams of owning a luxury vehicle, in fact, a reality. Stop in, or they'll come to your house for an at-home test drive. You can visit pepeautogroup.com to shop all their luxury brands and the Macallan Double Cask 12-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey, the perfect balance of American and European sherry seasonal casks, two worlds, one Macallan, imported by Edrington Americas. Please enjoy responsibly. The entire interview, I'm just sitting there revisiting what we talked about in the 6 o'clock hour. You are an evil human being, Rick. Evil.
Yeah, but let's not pretend like, I mean, this is, we're open books here. I mean, for me to admit that I was
Some more open than others.
No, we're not open books, okay? There's receptive. No way, had Someone you been violated person. Like that as a youth, that you would have told us. There's no way.
Of course I would have told
there's
you
no way.
Like
Chris, there's no way you would have told us that.
No, I think he would have kept that one in the chamber. Rico, I'm with Dave on that one. You would not have told us that. There's no way.
I mean, by definition, there is. I mean, you'd have one in the chamber if you're getting your temperature taken that way. You know what's amazing, though? It just to get off just to take your mind off of the whole temperature taking for a second. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I mean, at that pro level, like the amount of stuff outside of actual hockey, football, baseball, like that comes across a head coach's desk. It must be insane that he has to deal with every day.
Oh, I mean, there are things that he never thought were even going to be something that would possibly enter his life that he has to deal with right now.
Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Like, I'm just reading the story. It's like they finally kind of turned things around. They got their power play back on track. He's their best player. And then just out of nowhere.
That's right. And this is on the heels of him missing time, and you weren't playing well. Then he comes back, and he's so, I mean, when you look at the great players in hockey, and he has vision like almost nobody else does, he's such a wonderful player. And obviously, this is bigger and a bigger story and a worse story and all those things right now than hockey. But when you look at it from a hockey standpoint, I mean, you're the Rangers. You can't afford to lose a lot of these games now.
No, and now, I mean, guys are going to have to step up, like he said. I mean, in theory, it sounds great. You're going to roll four lines. But to replace that kind of production, someone's going to need to step up and get going.
Yes. Let's take one more quick call on this, and then we'll break and come back and get into the NFL. Zach in Mount Vernon. Zach, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? Oh, my God. You guys had me cracking up all the way to work. And it was funny because my parents are from down south, and I grew up in Freeport, Long Island. And I had no idea that the same thing happened to white kids, too.
You thought it was like a punishment for black children?
I thought it was just a down south thing. If your parents from down south, you got, you know, you have all those concoctions and stuff. So, you know, thermometer back there. Are you kidding me? Oh, my. And then the stories that you said, is everything they said was true. When he says about the don't move.
Oh, yeah.
How are you going to be a good kid and not move? And they're going to put a greasy glass thing in your booty, and you're not supposed to move. Mess up. I don't even want to know what messed up looked like. Oh, so traumatic.
I'm sorry,
oh,
Zach.
So
you see what you, I mean? Do you, and thanks for the call. Do you see what you did, Rick? How many people have we had called this morning after I admitted and a lot of credit to me for admitting something like that on the air, but I admit it. And now you've revisited something that was a nightmare for people as a child.
Yeah, but your nightmare just bridged the gap. I mean, he thought that was just the down south thing.
That's right.
Now he realizes, just like you had the same experience.
I mean, Dave, at this point, you can start a support group. Thermometers Anonymous.
There's a thermometer community.
Get together.
You could start a TA group, right? Thermometers Anonymous, and it would do very, very well.
I couldn't imagine. I could not imagine. Mom comes rolling upstairs, okay, yeah. with a big jar of Vaseline.
A tub.
What's that for? I just got to make sure your temperature's okay.
That's right.
Nah, I'm straight.
And then if you ever had like the flu and you had a temperature for 3 or 4 days, then she would give you like the couple days after check. Like, Mom, I have 98.4. Please leave me alone. I'm fine.
Now you're just taking advantage of this.
I stand up. Right. My name is Dave, and I had my temperature taken rectally as a child. Hi, Dave.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, it's really graphic. Rev Chipotle says, better question is, did you have to lay on your stomach to get the temperature taken, or did you lay on your back and throw your legs over your head? I mean, my parents were in Caligula, where I'm going in some kind of wild formation. You laid on your stomach for this to be done. What?
Yes,
I don't want the double plow today. Oh, God.
I'm so glad. I am so glad you answered the question that way,
because I'm honest.
Well, no, that I mean, we would have had some real issues if all of a sudden, I mean, I didn't want to. I got to get the mental image out of my head.
And he gave it to me quickly, so I was very appreciative of that. Why are all my sound bites coming back to haunt me at this very moment?
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
You need Jesus.
I need everything right now. Absolutely everything. All right. Let's turn our attention to the NFL. Dan Graziano going to join us so we can get off the topic at hand. I'm not exaggerating. My entire day is now ruined because of this. I told you I don't like Wednesdays.
It affected Stump Roth. I mean, it's affected
it's
everything.
It's changing everything. I couldn't tell you if you said I'm going to offer you money. Tell me what you asked David Quinn. I have no idea. Do you have any idea what I asked him? I have no comprehension of what I asked him.
You asked him about fans in the building.
Yes.
That was a good question.
You asked him about that.
I wonder what you could have suggested maybe at the Garden how they
temperature checks. Sponsored by Vaseline.
MSG Security. How do you plan on taking the temperature of these people? Could you imagine if they'd never get another person in the crowd again?
I'm all set.
You walk up, you go through the scanner. All right, take your keys out of your pocket, your wallet, all that. All right, we need to take your temperature. Okay, drop your drawers.
It's going to need you to get up in these stirrups
here
for a quick second.
Table here.
Oh, my God.
Steve, get the Vaseline. We got a temperature check in one.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Sounds like, guys, Ben Roethlisberger is going to be back as the starting quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers next season, doesn't it?
I don't know about that, Dave.
You didn't see what they said yesterday?
No, I heard what they said, and I know they're trying to work together. I know his agent says that he wants to return to the Steelers, and money is not going to be an issue. But I just keep wondering why they have to have all of these meetings if it's understood that Ben Roethlisberger is going to come back and play for the league minimum and they're going to restructure his contract. I don't understand why they have to continue to do all this meeting. That's the part of it that doesn't make sense to me on his face. Like, he's met with the coach, he's met with the GM, you know, he's met with the president, Art Rooney II. Like, why do you have to have all of these meetings if it's understood that you're going to come back and play for league minimum so we can restructure your contract and make it palatable in terms of the cap hit moving forward?
I can imagine they're probably just trying to gauge the temperature of where his mind's at. as far as
that's great. That's you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to come on and I'm just going to give you honest sports talk. I'm not letting you into my life anymore. I mean, I try to move forward with Ben Roethlisberger, and you have to take it back there. And you know what? I'm not alone. We had the phone lines lit up with people who wanted to commiserate and having had that done when they were kids.
No, it's a crazy world out there, ain't it? Crazy world.
So relatable, Dave. Yeah, I don't know why all of a sudden now you're trying to... Hey, I saw what you did with the video. I saw what you did. I saw it. You with the blue check mark.
Well, listen, I have a blue check mark. It's beautiful, and I'm very proud of that check mark.
Completely neutered your video, too. The day you released the video, I already have the check mark.
Yeah, so terrible perfect. Timing. Can we please get back to Roethlisberger? Please.
It sounds like he's going to be the quarterback. I mean, financially, they're not going to take. I mean, he can't be on their roster as a $41 million salary cap hit. It's impossible. They can't do it. I would also imagine that part of the meetings too are, you know, what is the better option than Ben coming back at league minimum?
What gives us a better chance to win for a veteran?
$1,075,000 for Ben.
What's the better option?
No way, and you guys can argue with me, and that's fine. There's no way he's playing for $1 million this year.
If he wants to play, he will.
Nah, I'm about to say.
There's no way.
What else is there to it? I mean, you saw what New Orleans did with Drew Brees. They reduced his salary. He worked it down to league minimum. Now, the expectation is that he's going to retire, but they haven't announced it yet, and he's still taking some time to make his decision. But, I mean, with Roethlisberger, it's a similar situation in terms of what that player represents to that franchise, and they want to handle it delicately. But at the same time, Dave, I mean, in order to reduce his cap hit to somewhere in the neighborhood of the high 20s, they're going to have to make his salary this year league minimum. I mean, if not, you're talking about him having a $30 million plus cap hit.
It's wild. It's a crazy
number. Can't do that for Ben Roethlisberger, the player that he is right now.
No.
And they got players to sign, too. I mean, important player. I mean, this team is built around its – I mean, the strength of the team is their defense.
Yes, yeah. It is. And Bud Dupree, I mean, before he got hurt last year, you could argue he's one of the better defensive players in the entire NFL.
Yes, I would agree with that. They only won one game after he got hurt, Dave. One. They won one game. So, I mean, it's
terrible.
The defense is going to be the identity of the team moving forward. You got Bud Dupree. You got Mike Hilton's contract you got to address, as well as T.J. Watt. Like, I mean, you're going to have to pay him some money. Not to mention your left tackle – Villanueva, he's going to be a free agent too.
That's right. Isn't Juju a free agent? Also?
Juju's a free agent as well. I mean, yeah. You got guys that you got to take care of, guys that you would consider a part of your core that you want to lock up. And are you going to jeopardize losing one more of those guys than you anticipated because you're keeping Roethlisberger around one more year?
Well, let's go to Anthony and Dix Hills. Anthony, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how's it going? First and foremost, you guys are definitely the best thing on the radio in a while. The three of you work off each other so well. Awesome job, guys. I wanted to talk a little bit about Jets Watson. I'm so confused. Every time I see these offers that are going out, and obviously no one knows anything yet. Watson hasn't even officially started pushing out the door yet, which I think eventually he will. But whenever it's the Jets involved, it's like they want everything in the world from the Jets, but like the other teams, it's like, all right, three number ones from them and we're good. Like, nobody's got the number two pick. Now, I get it. If Houston says they want a player, they want Christian McCaffrey, they want Chubb, they want one of those players, I get it. But if it's just strictly draft picks, how is it possible that anyone, except for maybe Miami, could even come close to what the Jets can offer?
Well, I mean, that's why when you we go back and forth and we have this conversation, it just feels like if the Jets want to get the deal done, then and Deshaun Watson isn't opposed to being a New York Jet, that they have the ammunition to go do it.
But the question is, are the Jets willing to give up that much in equity? 3-4 first round picks plus players? I don't know that they are.
Which is to me is crazy. Because, I mean,
right?
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think we all are in agreement there. Let's go quickly to Taylor in Saratoga. Taylor, you're next up on 98.7, pal.
Hey, guys. How are you doing this morning? First of all, Chris, thank you for the Super Bowl. I was actually at the NFC Championship game in San Francisco to watch you guys make it to the Super Bowl.
That was a crazy game, wasn't it?
Oh, it was awesome. I was right on the 40-yard line, about 15 rows back with my LT jersey on, rooting you guys on right behind the bench. Oh, man, that was awesome.
Thank God for Kyle Williams. Thank God.
I never like to root against a person, but anyway. So for Dave, a lot of these lines from Vegas, you can't sell them. So when I don't know what the current line is for the Jets getting Deshaun Watson, but you can't take the other side of the bet. You can only bet that
right. They're
going to get Deshaun Watson. And so there are some, most of the time, misleading of what's actually going to happen, right? For...
What's the number, Taylor? Do you have the number of who the prohibitive favorite is to land Deshaun Watson right now?
I don't have it in front of me, sorry, no. But, You are an unsuccessful gambler, like a lot of us. And I mean, a lot of people bet with their heart. So, the more popular teams are going to get the worse odds for you. So, like the Jets, a lot of Jets fans out there hoping that they'll get Deshaun Watson, they'll be over bet, and so they'll set the line higher than what they actually.
Yeah, we understand the whole gambling market and how that works. So, the Jets right now are like fifth or sixth. I just pulled it up. Texans are the favorite to keep him, yep. Still. Broncos, Panthers, Dolphins, Niners, and then the Jets.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Dan Graziano joins us every Wednesday in this spot. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
We had a very troubling conversation earlier on the show, which I'm not gonna bring you into. But I was better before the show, and I'll be better after the show today. But you didn't need to know that. So
good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Let me ask you. Obviously, Deshaun Watson is the big topic. This is my take, and I don't know if he's going to get dealt or not. But my thought would be, if he is going to get dealt, doesn't it have to take place before the draft? Like, don't you have to maximize what you can get for him if you're going to, in fact, deal him? Because you want to have those commodities to be able to use during the draft, right?
Oh, yeah, especially if you're a team like the Texans that doesn't have a first-round pick, right? They traded all these picks to get guys like Laremy Tunsil over the last couple of years. So, yeah, they could stand to replenish. They don't have a first. They don't have a second-round pick. Their first pick in the draft right now is 67. So if you're trading Deshaun Watson and you're trying to rebuild without a quarterback, yes, obviously it makes the most sense to do it before the draft, so that gives them a couple of months. But to this point, the Texans are still telling people who call that they're not interested in trading him. They want to try and patch things up with him. They want to build around him as their quarterback. So if it goes beyond the draft, then you talk about 2022 picks, and you talk about players, and what kind of players can you put in the deal that would help the Texans rebuild without Deshaun Watson. You're talking about having to trade good young players that are on their rookie contracts or early in their rookie contracts, guys that were drafted last year or the year before that. So those kinds of deals are difficult to do. We don't see them very often, but we also don't see, you know, 25-year-old quarterbacks as good as Deshaun Watson get traded very often either. So if they end up doing a deal, your logic makes sense, but there's going to be some unprecedented logic at work regardless.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Dan, as far as quarterbacks are concerned, what are your expectations as to what happens with Dak Prescott in these negotiations?
I may be kidding myself, as I was last year. I still think he gets signed. At some point, they have talked. Each side knows where the other stands. He wants to be there. They want him there. It hasn't worked out last year or the year before. And, yes, if he plays on the franchise tag again, that brings in the possibility that he's gone after this year. But I haven't had any conversations with anybody on either side of this that indicates any kind of strong pessimism. I think there's a feeling that it'll get done, especially once the new TV deals are in place, the salary cap is set. This could be a pretty big couple of weeks here for the big picture economics of the league as a whole, and that could start to get not just that deal, but a number of other potential extensions that teams are talking about with other players start to get done.
Dan, Art Rooney II, the president of the Steelers, is expected to make a statement on Ben Roethlisberger's future. What are people in the NFL saying about what they expect him to say about the future of the quarterback in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, talking to people around that situation the last couple of days, it sounds like they want to find a way to bring Ben Roethlisberger back this year, and that both sides are in agreement on wanting to do that and possibly even how to do that. So I think if I had to make a bet right now, I would say the statement would indicate a Roethlisberger return in 2021. Not that it wouldn't be. You know, it's not impossible that he comes out and says they're parting ways, et cetera, but everything I've heard the last couple of days indicates that Roethlisberger will be on their team and be their quarterback next year. Now, how they pull that off remains to be seen. The most they can save on an extension that knocks down his cap number would be about $14 million off of that $41.25 million cap hit. That's the lowest they can get it. And if that happens, they're going to have a hard time signing their free agents and doing some of the other things they need to do. But it sounds like bringing Roethlisberger back is something they want to do, something he wants to do, and that the two sides have been in contact about finding a way to make it happen.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. A couple of big-time free agents as far as the receiving core is concerned, and that's Allen Robinson and Kenny Golladay. I've heard rumblings, though, that they might be tagged and traded. What do you think happens with those guys?
The franchise tag number for receivers, and again, a lot of this depends on where the cap settles, but the franchise tag number for receivers could be pretty affordable. I mean, you're talking about somewhere in the high $15 millions, low $16 millions versus, you know, Amari Cooper last year signing for $20 a year. So that could lead to those guys getting franchised. Robinson in Chicago, Galladay in Detroit, Godwin in Tampa Bay, all potential free agents who might not get out of their buildings if the teams decide to use the franchise tag on them. So, yeah, it sounds like I think the Bears are planning to franchise Allen Robinson. Galladay's a little bit of a mystery because they're under new management there in Detroit. We don't know exactly what their plan is going to be for the roster that they're inheriting. And then Godwin in Tampa, you know, they have Shaquille Barrett, who they could franchise for the second year in a row, or they could try and get it. They'd try to get deals done with both of them, but they could end up franchising Godwin. So because that number is so much lower than the top of the market as set by Cooper last year, I think those guys are all in serious danger of being franchised. If that happens, you say tag and trade, then it becomes what's the player willing to, you know, is Allen Robinson going to force his way out of Chicago? Is he going to make it clear that he doesn't want to sign there and that they'd be better off trading him? Those kinds of issues come into play on those guys if and when the tag does get applied.
Dan Graziano joins us here in the show. Dan, I'm in all honesty, I am fascinated by the whole quarterback situation going on right now in the NFL and, you know, guys wanting out, Russell Wilson kind of exerting his power. Teams like the Patriots, the Washington football team, and even the Chicago Bears, where do you think teams like that end up going to fill that quarterback spot?
I think as long as Deshaun Watson is potentially in play, you'll see teams kind of, you know, keep their toe in that water, right? Like, let's look at the Carolina Panthers. They have Teddy Bridgewater under contract for this year, $17 million, 10 of it's guaranteed. They could go with him again this year. Absolutely. They want to try and find an upgrade. They tried to get Matthew Stafford. Didn't work. And we expect them, if Watson is available, to be among the most aggressive, if not the most aggressive team in that pursuit. So they could hold on to Teddy Bridgewater in case Watson never becomes available or in case they don't get him. Same thing with, you know, Nick Foles in Chicago, right? And Washington has a couple of guys in Kyle Allen and Taylor Heineke they feel okay about as fallback positions. Because right now, if you're not getting Watson, you know, are you going to trade for Marcus Mariota? Are you going to sign Ryan Fitzpatrick? Are you going to sign Andy Dalton? You know, this is the sort of ballpark you're playing in. Jameis Winston, if the Saints don't bring him back before free agency starts. So those are the options you're sifting through at this point. Trade for Sam Darnold, sign Mitchell Trubisky. These are not names that are going to get fan bases particularly fired up. And so I think you'll see teams that have interest in Watson kind of hedge their bet and maybe not overspend on their potential fallback option in case he does become available. And to some extent, Houston's delay on this will hold some teams hostage.
Dan, without getting too far into the weeds, what impact, if any, will the media rights negotiations this offseason have on free agent deals at the start of the league year?
If the TV deals come in at a high enough level, then the salary cap could be higher than we expected, right? They set the floor for the salary cap at $175 million, and then they recently raised that floor to $180. That's to account for losses, 2020 losses as a result of the COVID pandemic. So if the TV deals are incredible, right, and they all come in before March 17th, maybe the cap goes up a little bit. Maybe it's $185. Maybe it's a high 180s. And that will really be a huge help to teams trying to get deals done. The other thing is, if the reduction in this year's cap is going to affect next year's cap, because they're going to kind of borrow the losses from next year, spread them out over 2 years as opposed to just one. And so when teams do these long-term deals, they'll have an idea how to structure them, how much money you need to put into year one, how much money you need to put into year two, year three, et cetera. So it's going to have a big impact. The other thing is, once the TV deals are done, the owners are almost certain to trigger the 17-game season. So that's going to affect the way contracts are done and the way they're executed, the way they're written and signed and paid out. So a lot of impact is the answer to your question. It's hard to avoid getting too deep into the weeds on this, but that's sort of some of the treetop stuff and how it'll have an effect on what happens this offseason.
All right, Dan, we appreciate it. We know you got a Sports Center hit to do, so go do that. We'll talk to you next week.
Get up. We're doing Get Up. People should put that on in the background while they listen to you at 8 a.m. So, yeah,
absolutely.
You go. I'll wave at them.
And they will. All right,
thanks,
good
guys.
Stuff, Dan. We'll talk to you. Speaking of Get Up, Chris, you're back on tomorrow morning, aren't you?
Back on, man. Moonlighting with the guys tomorrow morning. So that'll be fun. Tune in, 8 o'clock.
That's right. Trey Young lookalike, Chris Canty will be on.
Stop it. Stop it.
Tomorrow
Stop
morning.
It, thermometer boy.
No, that can't happen. That's completely unfair.
What do you mean?
because if I'm gonna let you in and let you see the scars that I've had to endure during my lifetime, you can't now make fun of me. Otherwise, I won't continue to do that.
What do you mean, Dave? I mean, listen, you took a shot. I decided to give you a little jab back. What's wrong with that?
Because that's sensitive.
You're in the circle of trust.
Because you look, yeah, but you look nothing like Trae Young. Like for me to say Trae Young lookalike, that's not insulting at all. Because okay. We know that that's not the case. Okay. I am thermometer boy right now.
Yes, but you're not alone, Dave. You have a whole community that's right there waiting to support you.
It's true.
Yeah, so you shouldn't feel too bad.
Scarred via the thermometer. All right, tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk, offering the Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199 and $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plans. No contract on America's best networks. I love how Rick just sits there laughing.
Dave, just make sure you don't get the Vaseline jars mixed up, okay?
I love that. I'm very uncomfortable with you putting this in my bottom and you know, lubing me up and all that kind of stuff. It happened. I am thermometer boy right now.
I'll tell you what, though. Made up for losing the plow community. I mean, you've definitely brought in a whole new demographic of listener here.
That's right. Rectal thermometer taking. We have really
monopolized that.
I have fractured glass in my rear. All right. So, you know, Dan mentioned something quickly. I saw this yesterday. It sounds like we're going to have 17 games next year in the NFL. Not 17 weeks, 17 games. So we're going to get an extra game for every team. I mean, how wonderful is that?
It sounds like we're moving one step closer to Rico getting what he wants, which is the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. What they're trending toward, Dave.
Yeah, Candy, now we're talking. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I'm not even putting in. Christmas was in the conversation as the second best holiday. We start going Super Bowl with President's Day off. I mean, that's...
So it's Thanksgiving, then it's Super Bowl weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
I don't know. I think Super Bowl weekend could rise to the top of the mountain. You're gonna give me President's Day weekend with the Super Bowl, and most people are going to have Monday off? I got to be honest. I think that could get back up to number one.
It's going to be close, Dave, because, I mean, Thanksgiving, you're really talking about a four-day weekend as opposed to a three-day weekend with President's Day weekend. But the food around the Super Bowl, I just feel like it has the chance to be better than the food around Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving, you got to deal with the turkey. And who really wants the turkey?
Yeah, this is a conversation I'm not comfortable with, because I enjoy turkey. I enjoy turkey. I enjoy all the things that turkey.
You don't enjoy turkey.
I do.
You only eat it once a year. You don't enjoy turkey.
That's true. I went shopping yesterday, and I picked up a half pound of turkey.
Okay. That's deli turkey. How do you
do it?
Just so the listeners know, Thanksgiving, how do you take the turkey's temperature? Make sure it's done.
This is never going to go away.
I am thermometer boy right now.
This is never going to go away. My honesty is going to come back to haunt me. I am thermometer boy right now. It's not fair. It's not right. All right. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 800-919-3776. If you have a war story from the thermometer as a youth, or we're going to have some NFL conversation here. We haven't talked a lot about the Giants because it feels like we kind of know what they're doing. We know who the quarterback's going to be. We know what most of the weapons are going to look like. But a couple of things I heard about the Giants this week, which I wanted to just bring up and take the temperature of with you guys here on 98.7 ESPN. I am thermometer boy
yes,
right
thank
now.
Thank you.
Firstly, that is, I guess, we thought this was going to be difficult to do, Chris. They want to keep both Leonard Williams and Dalvin Tomlinson. That is their plan right now. And the one guy that I've heard that they really like on the offensive side of the ball who will potentially be a free agent is Kenny Golladay. They really like him a lot.
Well, we don't know if Kenny Golladay is going to be available, but the Giants do need to find a number one receiver. Like, they need a guy that can dictate front and coverage, if for no other reason, to answer the question of whether or not you got a quarterback. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, the Dallas Cowboys made the trade for Amari Cooper. They gave up a first-round pick, and a lot of people were wondering what the hell they were doing. Well, they were trying to answer whether or not Dak Prescott was going to be their quarterback moving forward. Now, makes no sense that they haven't signed Dak Prescott yet, but the same principle applies. Like, the Giants got to figure out whether or not Daniel Jones is their guy. They got to find a number one receiver. And to me, the surest way to do that is free agency, because you got to have an answer in year one. You can't wait to develop one of these guys that you take early in the draft.
I mean, outside of what would you guys, I mean, you guys are the Giants guys, outside of a number one wide receiver, I mean, what else do you need? Do they need to address?
Edge, pass rusher, and corner.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I know, Dave, you're not 100% sold on the offensive line either, correct?
But I don't know. What are you going to go more with the offensive line? I mean, how many more times are you going to have to fix this thing?
I don't know. I mean, it's a question to ask your boy, Dave. I mean, you look like Dave Gettleman.
Stop it. You've already been cruel enough to me today. You don't need to take shots.
I'd have to imagine, though. I mean, getting a healthy Saquon Barkley back and the addition of a legitimate number one wide receiver, if it's not Kenny Golladay, whoever it ends up being, is going to – should help.
Well, they're going to address receiver, right? If it's Golladay, if it's Allen Robinson, if it's via the draft. At some point, there's no way that the receivers are going to be Tate, Shepard, Engram, and Darius Slayton. There's no way they look like that next year.
I would imagine it's going to be a veteran wide receiver, though, no? I mean, wouldn't you want someone that's established?
I mean, if you're there at 11 and you can grab Jaylen Waddle, I don't know. Think that's attractive?
Yeah, but you're still going to be waiting, though, Dave. You know what I mean? Like, there's no guarantee that Jaylen Waddle is going to be an impact player year one. So, I mean, you're just wondering, okay, is he going to be good enough in time for you to be able to evaluate Daniel Jones the way that you're going to need to going into his fourth season?
You're right. And I think, Chris, what you have to do is the opposite of what they did with Sam Darnold, right? We're 3 years in, and it's like, well, they didn't really give him the weapons, so what do we know? Well, you can't have that. Like, that's the one thing, if you're Dave Gettleman, if you're the Giants press, you have to figure out this year, and that is, what is Daniel Jones? So maybe there is some merit to it, but I get nervous about it. He talks about, you know, franchising Robinson and franchising Kenny Golladay. The Giants need a lot of pieces. I don't know that I can start trading a valuable pick for a wide receiver right now.
No, I can understand that, Dave. I get where you're coming from, but there is no more important decision that has to be made for the franchise's long-term success than figuring out whether or not you got a quarterback. And that has to take precedent. Like, I understand the Giants were knocking at being able to win the division and get into the postseason, but I mean, in order to have sustained success, you have to have a good quarterback. And we don't know if Daniel Jones is a good quarterback or not. Now, we will say this. I like the way this team was trending in the second half of the season. They've shown that when Daniel Jones is healthy, they can run the football. And that complements the strength of this team, which is the defense. So I like the identity that they're creating, but I still got to know if Daniel Jones is a playmaker. In order to find that out, I got to surround him with more playmakers. Saquon Barkley's going to help, but they got to have a true number one wide receiver.
Yeah, your offense wasn't very good.
It was terrible.
It was not very good. I mean, I can't say that though as a Jets fan. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that your offense was terrible. I mean, you saw what ours looked like. There are two worst offenses in the National Football League. But it's only going to, listen, it's going to give you the answer to the question you hope on whether or not you have a franchise quarterback. And on top of it, I mean, you've got decisions to make about Saquon Barkley moving forward too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is important.
He's going to have a big, this is a big season for Barkley.
It's a huge season, but I mean, you saw how much more effective, he's great. But Saquon Barkley with a legitimate number one wide receiver like Odell Beckham Jr. on the field, it changes everything for him. Because they're not just going to be able to key up and focus on stopping him. You have a real threat on the outside that you have to worry about.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. Eddie, you're next up on 98.7, pal.
Hey, how you guys doing? Well, two things. One's on the Giants. I agree with you. But the Jets and the Giants are totally in the same, you know, in the same package. They're building from the most expensive position and waiting to get results. You know, if you don't have an offensive line, you don't need a quarterback and a running back. Giants, you could have traded down from the Barkley pick and shored up your offensive or defensive line.
Eddie, we've been through this a million times. We completely agree with you, but you can't go back unless you have a DeLorean that we can go back and change this. That's not going to happen. You can't go back and change where the Giants are. This is what they have. They have Barkley. They have Daniel Jones. They have an offensive line that they've invested a lot with now. They have Evan Engram, and they need a wide receiver. I think that's the big obvious piece that they need this offseason. At least one. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised if they, you know, took a wide receiver as far as free agency and then drafted Kyle Pitts. Like, you need to completely change the weapons you have offensively on this club.
But that's the beauty of, I mean, it's money. I get it. But that's the beauty of signing a free agent wide receiver, is now all of a sudden you have the flexibility. if it ends up being Pitts that falls to you and he's available, or it's an edge. I mean, you need an edge pass rusher too, and we know how expensive those are in free agency.
Yeah.
So you like to have that option. And then you know what you do. I mean, you gauge the temperature of the free agent class in the market.
And how long do you think this lasts for? How long do you think the temperature
Oh, it's not going anywhere, Dave. This is going to be a part of the show.
It's great.
Yeah.
You think like thermometer companies will start calling us being like, can you guys please get involved with promoting our product?
That would mean sales would have to do their jobs. No, of course that's not going to happen.
Shots at sales. Bart Scott, by the way, from Bart and Hahn, is going to be on with KJZ at 8:10 this morning, and they, of course, follow us. All right, Santiago, it's a Wednesday, which means we do, in fact, do the three stars of the day.
Today's three stars of DCR, number three.
Lots to get to today, so we'll start with first Dave's internet line, or his phone bill or internet bill, or however you want to slice it. Thanks for paying that, Dave, and joining us in the 6 o'clock hour after that mishap.
I'm great with vendors.
What else is there to say?
Number two.
Dave in Jersey City. Everyone's favorite, Dave.
Ain't nobody know you. You're a mediocre hockey player. How about that? Just candy garbage.
I mean, those aren't even from today. Like, today was quality.
What was he complaining about today? That we don't give the Nets enough love?
We hate on the Nets here.
We wax poetic about how great the Nets are. And then he somehow got into the Lakers. But, yeah, one of my favorite all-time drops is Chris Canty. Garbage.
Chris Canty, garbage.
Yeah, garbage.
Listen, we'll hear from Dave tomorrow or some other time. He calls all the time. I'm surprised you haven't picked up on it.
Number one.
Okay, come on. Everyone knew what was coming, right?
Now I have fractured glass in my rear. I'm very uncomfortable with you putting this in my bottom and you know, lubing me up and all that kind of stuff.
Bottom line.
I am thermometer boy right now.
So, childhood trauma is the number one star of the day, or as Dave Rothenberg should refer to it from now on, the cold, hard truth.
It's terrible. It's true. As a child, I had my temperature taken rectally, and I stand by it, and I know a lot of you have as well. It's Rule 76.
No excuses playing a champion. It's DiPietro Canty, thermometer boy, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.